Okay, if you can open up to 2 Thessalonians 3. I'd like to look just at 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. And let's just start by reading it. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. So I'd like to look at three parts of that last verse: the love of God, the steadfastness of Christ, and then that it's the Lord that's directing our hearts there. So you see in verse 1 that Paul is asking for their prayers. He's asking that they would pray that God would work again just as he had done in their church, and to make the Lord's word effective, and that the word would be honored among those in those upcoming churches that Paul is going to. And in verse 3, we see that that they can have hope or encouragement while they're doing this because the Lord is faithful, and he will establish them and guard them against the evil one. Verse 4, therefore, Paul's confidence is in the Lord concerning their current state and whether they're continuing in the faith. And then Paul looks to the Lord in verse 5 and asks the Lord to for him to direct their hearts to look at the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. He also says in verse 4, that section, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. I think that's just another way of saying that they're making progress and will continue to make progress. He has confidence in the Lord that they will be living Christians, seeing life in their lives, and seeing the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and that their affections are changing, and that they're fighting the flesh and not sitting by. And I guess in a word, endurance or perseverance. So how will the Thessalonians and how will we endure? We see an answer in verse 5 by looking with our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. So we see first the love of God. We see his sending love, that love which sets his electing love on us. The Father elects and gives some to the Son to redeem, and then the Holy Spirit effectually saves us. Like John 6, 37 to 38, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We see that it's the Father's will to love sinners and to save them. We see we also see the love that God has set on us in Christ. And this gets back to what Pastor Bob had mentioned on Sunday about how our view of God and how we think about or how we know our security in God, how really misinformed it can be if we don't understand the covenants right. If we see our relationship with God as depending on us keeping our end of the covenant, in a similar way to the Israelites had to do in order to keep their land, and we can quickly forget that the new covenant was made with Christ, and He is our head, He is our high priest, and He keeps His end of the covenant perfectly. Romans 8:1, like I mentioned, there is therefore no condemnation. There is no being condemned against the Father. There's no one that can bring a case that sticks. All the accusations roll off us, just like how water beads up and rolls off a duck's back. This is only because we're found in Christ, and we're not found at all apart from Him. If we imagine the courtroom of God, if the devil accuses, and the scriptures say he does, if he says something like, "Look at your servant, they've sinned yet again in such a way, there's no way they can be your servant. What kind of servant would sin against his master like that? What kind of servant would have such little love for his master?" Those accusations start to stick in our conscience, because we know that we've done those things. We know we've sinned against God, and we do have so little love for God in return for His love. But then Christ would just step in and say that he has not sinned in that way. He resisted all temptation and sin, and that He loves the Father perfectly, and that this one is one of His body members, and that they are found in Him. We are then, if we're found in Christ, we are then surely safe. Secondly, let's look at the steadfastness of Christ. And I wonder if this could be taken in two ways. Either the steadfastness of Christ during His life on earth, or the steadfastness of Christ as He intercedes in heaven for us. He was steadfast on earth in that he never sinned, always loved others, always was a servant to others. And He's steadfast in heaven for us right now as He intercedes for us. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. And then the third point, that phrase, "May the Lord direct your hearts." We can endure by the love of God and by the steadfastness of Christ, and then third, by the Lord actually directing our hearts. We need our hearts to be directed, and directed meaning not just a glance or not just a quick look, or not even just a sustained look while we're in pain here, but a redirecting direction of our hearts to God and His love, and to Christ and His steadfastness. This will be a direction of affection. This will involve our loves changing, what we love and what drives us. It will be changing more and more as God sanctifies us. And this will also be a direction of our attention. As we grow in grace, God will work in us more and more, so that we are more attuned to when we are grieving the Spirit. this will also be a direction of this will also be a direction of our hope, that more and more we'll have our hopes planted in God, have our hopes planted in God's love and love that comes from Him, and to have that planted in His unchanging love for us, and also have our hope planted in Christ's continual intercession for us. So we need our hearts to be directed, and we need it to be the Lord who's directing our hearts. For if changing our hearts is up to us, surely it will be fickle, here today, gone tomorrow, changing with my mood, changing with the seasons, or just temporary, not lasting, not complete at all. But if God changes us, surely then it will be as lasting as Christ. So then, just in summary, we need to ask God to please direct our hearts more and more to look to the Father's love and to the Son's steadfast intercession for us.